Hi, this is Corey.
And I'm Brandon, aka Jump Rope Champion on all social media networks.
And this is Jump Rope Jam. Today's episode, we have Ilya Given, Canadian jumper and friend with Caitlin Simpson. So, Ilya, why don't you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
All right. Well, let's see. On Twitter, I think the little blurb says Canadian housewife and obnoxious rope ninja. That's probably pretty good. I have a few irons in the fire, but as a skipper, I started 20 years ago in 1996 and been jumping ever since.
Nice.
Mostly in Canada. And then, of course, this past July, I went to World Jump Rope in Paris, France, and Caitlin and I won the Paris Single Rope Freestyle event at the Grand World Championships for the event of Single Rope Paris Freestyle.
That's great. And what team have you been jumping for, if any?
Oh, man. I started on the very first Canadian rope skipping team. And then I kind of went rogue a little bit, I guess. Most recently, I've been skipping on Caitlin's team that she started at university, which is the Lakehead University team.
Mm-hmm. LU.
But I also represent my circus school. So usually if you see me doing master's events, I have a Zuccotto Circus shirt on. And I've also sort of been helping out with some different Canadian teams, just traveling around doing workshops and lending a hand coaching. And so shout out to all my Canadian jumpers.
Nice.
How was your experience, going to Paris for the World Jump Rope Championships? Was it your first World Jump Rope competition?
So it was my first World Jump Rope competition, but it was not my first international competition with rope skipping. So previous to that, I had in the 90s actually done the ADDLs, which was the only international rope skipping competition at the time before FISAC started doing its own thing for Worlds. And then I later did, in the early 2000s, I think I finished in 02 or 03, did the AAU Junior Olympic Games. And then, of course, and then this summer was my most recent competition, and it was my first time at World Jump Rope, yeah.
Nice. So you've actually competed at ADDL before?
Yes, I have.
Who did you compete with?
I actually competed with another Canadian team. It was a long, long time ago. And as far as I know, Canada doesn't send anyone to ADDLs anymore.
No, they don't send anyone at the moment. So that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Is there a reason for that?
As you know, ADDL, AAU, FISAC, and World Jump Rope, they're all very different formats. Canada, in our competition structure, we are more comparable to FISAC, but we're kind of starting to go in the World Jump Rope vein. I think it's a lot like you'll find Canadian politics. We are kind of derived from the European model, but we're great buddies with the US. And so that's where we stand in the sport as well. But I think the reason predominantly why we aren't represented at the AAUs is because, or sorry, not AAU, the ADDLs, is because there's a large emphasis in that competition structure on double dutch speed. And I'm not sure if they still have the 2-minute double dutch speed, one jumper, 2 minutes. Have they still got that, Brandon?
Yes, they do.
So that's not an event that we have in Canada. So our jumpers and our turners wouldn't be prepared to do that event. And also, I'm going to say that as a nation, Canadian jumpers could really stand to improve in double dutch speed. So that might be another reason why they aren't favoring that competition over a FISAC or a World Jump Rope competition.
Did you hear that, Brandon? There's an opening for you to go into Canada and get their speed ranking up.
I'm
absolutely
definitely available.
If you want to pop up and teach double dutch speed, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I would definitely, be willing to go to Canada for the second time and, teach you guys how to do double dutch speed.
Well, I have a spare bedroom, Brandon.
Okay, that's all I need.
Yeah, come on up.
Great. So you'll keep us posted with when you plan on doing this.
Yeah.
Okay, so along with the speed, the last time that we talked, Ilya, we had talked about your love and passion about the sport in regards to foot placement and health. I think that Brandon would appreciate what you had to say last time, if you remember. Do you
Well, I
remember that?
do notice, and I'm sure a lot of people have recognized this in our sport, is that jumpers around the ages of 15 to 17 and upwards of there, we're seeing a lot of kin tape and braces and injuries. And obviously, the sport has a lot of high impact and can be really hard on your body, particularly the joints around your ankles, knees, and your spinal cord, of course, right? For all the good that it does for you cardiovascularly, we do see a lot of injuries. And I think one of the greatest contributing factors to that is how little we emphasize form in our sport. I know I was saying how in gymnastics per se, when they land a huge vault or a long tumbling combination, you see them land with their feet together. If they take one little extra step off of the landing, they get docked marks for that. So they really train to be consistent and to land properly. And that emphasis that they have on the form in those sports, I think, really lends itself to technique and to doing things properly and less injury. Not that there aren't a lot of injuries and that they don't age out just as quickly in gymnastics, but I do think that in our sport, it's kind of like if you land the right side up, you get full points. They don't dock you marks necessarily for a poor technique. I like to think in judging, good technique is respected, but there's not as much to lose if you do a trick or complete a skill and it's sloppy and less perfect. And I think that if the mindset was changed there was more emphasis on completing the skills properly, or we had more resources for training proper technique, then you might see less injury, especially as we get past puberty in our sport. Is
Okay.
that what you were asking
Yes,
me to talk about?
that's exactly what I was asking you.
Okay.
I agree with what you had to say, and especially from our talks with the people that we've interviewed so far, the jumpers that we've interviewed, we've heard a lot of horrible injuries, and I don't know if they stem from poor form or not, but why not try something that the sport is not doing as well as they should be, from a necrotic bone to concussions. And I know that Brandon, you had hurt your wrists were bothering you, I believe you said, or yeah. So what do you think about that, Brandon, since
Yeah, I definitely agree. I feel as though, form is definitely a key. I use form, because when I grew up learning, jump rope and things like that, I prided myself on form and technique and the fundamentals of learning how to jump. My mom always teaches the fundamentals and form, and we believe that jump rope is an art form. So, to master jump rope, you would have to learn its technique. So I definitely pride myself on technique, and I, hope everyone can definitely, learn the technique of jump rope, because I feel as though there is a technique form that most people do, and I think that, it will help you in the long run and, help you get better as well. So I definitely pride myself on technique.
Yeah, I think also was it Dylan who had made the Trictionary?
Yes, Dylan.
Yes.
And he's the same jumper who had recently got a concussion. So
that's right. I don't know if right, because somebody had jumped on his head or landed on his head. So I don't know how much technique would maybe have prevented that.
Right,
that
right.
Seems more like just a complete judgment error, right? Which that happens in any sport. But I actually got the Trictionary, which is awesome because it actually does build sequentially the skills, right? So you learn a basic skill like a cross. And then it makes that mental connection between the cross is the same skill that you're having for, I'm going to say this wrong because in Canada we call it a cougar, but I think in the United States it's referred to as a pretzel. So for us, a cross cougar, is that a cross pretzel? That seems redundant.
Oh, we still call it a cougar. Cougars, same arm, same leg.
Okay.
We call a cross, well, I guess you guys call it a cross cougar. We just call it a toad.
A toad. Okay. So when you're doing a toad, the Trictionary is making the connection that your arms are in the same position. You're still completing the skill of a cross,
right?
But your leg is raised. And I know that teaching with that verbiage and that technique sometimes reaches a lot of people who are like, you want me to put my arm under where? And it seems like they're really getting tangled up and it's hard for them to think through it until you say, well, it's just a cross and raise one leg kind of thing, right? So it actually was showing how the skills actually build upon each other. And in an instance like that, you know, Brandon, I know your mom's really instrumental with taking young kids and teaching them, as you said, the fundamentals. If you're teaching the fundamentals to young kids, it might be great to teach to have arm positions, right? Like if you went to a ballet class, they would teach you the five arm positions and the five leg positions. And then when they want to do choreography or they want to teach more intricate or impressive skills, they'll say, okay, put your arms in fifth position and do a chaîne into this jump. And everybody in that ballet class knows what fifth position and a chaîne is. And I think that maybe one really awesome thing we could do for our sport is define, because we do have leg positions, arm positions, body positions. We just don't call them 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, right? We call them cross, TS, EB. But, you know, we have positions. There's above your head. There's the side swing cross is one position. Arms open is another position. And I feel like we could really develop a shorthand. And also it would help our technique to know that, you know, when your arm's in the open position, this is what it's actually supposed to look like. How bent should your arms be? Where should your wrists be? How are your fingers placed on handle? I really think our sport is lacking the sort of ironing out that other sports have in those, right? Like if you are learning football, there's a special technique to throw that perfect spiral, and you have to nail down that technique. And I think it should be the same in our sport, right? A side swing cross or a matador, depending what country you're from, what you call those skills, there's a proper way to do them. And if we're teaching kids from the time that they're young to do them properly, maybe we're going to see more consistency and less injury when they get a bit older. Or at least, you know, we can hope for that.
Well, on the note of dance and how it influences the sport, Ailea and I, and I believe even Caitlin, know that this in the next couple of days we're going to be having a dancer who her name is Erica Nicole, and she's not only a dancer who performs ballet, but she also teaches on the show. So Brandon, if you're interested, it is on Wednesday though, so I'm not sure if you'll be able to join, but I think it would be interesting to have somebody who she definitely does not know the sport beyond, you know, when she was a kid. So having somebody, though, who's a professional dancer to, you know, share these ideas and communicate with her would be, I think, interesting and also possibly, you know, something nice to, you know, to learn from.
Yeah, I hope so.
What do you think, Brandon?
I mean, I definitely feel as though we can definitely learn, you know, technique and things like that. But I feel as though with that, the technique is already there. I feel as though for you to complete the trick, the technique has to be, you know, somewhat accurate, as far as, you know, doing like a cross or a toad or things like that. So I feel as though the technique is already in place there. You know, there's definitely variations, like if someone's doing a toad and their foot is not lifted up as well, and when they come out of it, they kick their feet back. I feel as though the technique is still there. As far as landing the trick, what you have to do is cross your arms all the way under your leg and, you know, get your leg high enough for you to, you know, have it under long enough that so that you can come, so that the rope can come around and you can jump it. So I feel as though the technique is there. It's just fixing, making the technique perfect, I would feel as though would be the difference in how our sport is. I feel as though they learn their technique to perfect their technique, and we learn a technique just to get a trick. So I feel as though it will be different in kind of a way. But I feel as though we can definitely learn how to teach the technique easier to our jumpers.
Aaliyah?
Right. I would agree with that. Definitely in our sport, the aim is to complete the rotation, right? So regardless of how you do your toad or how sloppy or perfect or, you know, anywhere in between, regardless of how the toad is completed, if you complete the rotation, then you get full points for that trick. Whereas, you know, in dance and gymnastics, you can do a back handspring, but if your legs aren't straight, you won't get any points at all for your back handspring. They don't reward you for doing it if you haven't done it correctly. And I do think, especially when it comes to skippers earning a living in the performance arts, in the circus or really any sort of performance art, I really think that holds us back. If you can't do things with straight legs and pointed toes, I mean, that was certainly my experience joining the circus and in boot camp, really being put through the ringer and having a really, really tough time and having to kind of start over, as it were, to apply these techniques to the sport, because there was no way they were going to pay me to be skipping with bent legs and flat feet, right? Mm-hmm. So I do think also from a spectator standpoint, we're not going to draw in as many people interested in paying our athletes and signing their kids up to our sport if they're seeing it done sloppy, well, right? If it's not visually enticing.
Well, what was your experience, Brandon? Because I know you were in the circus as well for a little bit.
Well, as far as my experience, you know, I jump with jumpers who are experienced. So, you know, the more years that we jumped, the better our technique became, you know, watching other jumpers doing tricks and things like that. So as far as, you know, our circus, you know, I feel as though the only thing that we had to worry about really was, as far as the jump rope aspect of it, was to not make a mistake. In jump rope. So I feel as though, you know, the people that were watching, you know, they liked the performance and they didn't really understand, you know, what is going on, as they just knew that it was appealing to their eye. So I feel as though, you know, with people who've never, you know, jump rope or know techniques and things like that, they won't know, oh, his leg isn't straight for that trick, or he didn't cross his arms all the way across his stomach for a crisscross. So I just feel as though, as far as make look nice, I would say just to not have mistakes is like the most key thing that's important with performing. And, you know, with the circus, it's definitely different, you know, for a jumper, because most jumpers don't grow up performing. They're mostly there to compete and make it competitive. So it was definitely something that you have to learn as a jumper to become a performer. So I would just say, if you're trying to become a performer, it is better to learn proper technique and so that you're more presentable, you know, to the crowd, because they may not know what you're doing. And if you just don't look pretty doing it, then you just don't look pretty. So I would definitely agree with that.
And I think that I can actually add something to this conversation, because I believe I fall underneath that category of, you know, first time, you know, in the community in sport, and definitely a beginner when it comes to jumping. From watching what I've seen so far, from some of the events that I've watched online to the Double Dutch Holiday Classic that I came to see in Manhattan, I definitely agree that from a total jump rope noob or beginner, it's definitely visually stunning and is easy to not know, you know, if somebody's jumping properly or their form is perfect. But I think health-wise, the form is something that's very important. I think that it's something that should be taught better based on what I'm hearing from both of you guys. And why not? Why wouldn't you want to perfect your form and perfect your performance in your sport? And also extend your life competing as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, knock on wood, I don't wear any braces or any kin tape. I haven't had any really serious injuries that have been debilitating or have prevented me from competing as of yet. So
what was the smallest one that you had?
The smallest injury?
Yeah, or the most recent injury then.
Oh, most recent injury. I actually injured my patellar tendon in my knee, and I hit it on the door getting out of my husband's truck.
Oh, well.
But when you injure your patellar, it's very painful, weight bearing. So the triple unders event became really difficult for me to train for while that was happening. And it did take a long time to rehabilitate. And still, if I hit it, it can be sort of tender now. But it wasn't from skipping, though it did affect the skipping for me.
Now, I would say for the triple unders, that is something where technique is essential. It is like the most important thing, you know, to do with triple unders, because it is so much pressure on your knees and your legs. Triple unders, I would say technique you must learn. You must learn the technique of how to do a triple under right, because it could just be so painful for you in the long run as far as your knees and things like that. So triple unders is definitely something, technique, that you need to learn.
I remember, so I took sort of a 10-year hiatus from the sport, actually. I more or less retired from it when I was in my early teens, because I went pro, I guess you could say. I started working in the circus, and I became a performer, and I hadn't competed for nearly a decade there when I returned to the sport. And when I returned to the sport, I had to learn this triple under event, and I was having the hardest time discerning double unders from triple unders. I'd be trying to train my triple unders and have to look at the coaches and be like, is this a triple under or a double under? Like, what am I doing right now? Because the truth is that until you're doing a lot of them, the strain on your arms for and your legs for jumping and turning isn't that much. I don't know if you are finding this as well, Brandon, but it's more about finesse and rhythm than it is about like lifting or pushing or it becomes really hard. Like, the rope starts to feel very heavy and your legs do get really tired once you've done enough of them. But even just to get started into a triple under, I'd be having the hardest time. And I find this with CrossFit athletes as well, when I'm trying to instruct them how to do double unders or the correct technique for double unders. They're always, you know, they go to do one and they're like, was that close? I'm like, well, that was almost a triple under. you know, you that's too much. You need to back off a little bit. And the way that I actually discern them is I listen for them. So when I'm doing just a single open jump, if I'm just doing open jumps, then you don't hear any whips. You just hear the rope hit the floor and your feet hit the floor. When I do a double under, I hear like one whip and then my feet land. And when I do a triple under, I hear two whips and my feet land. So I listen for that rhythm, and that's how I know what I'm doing. I mean, after a season of it, then my muscles remember it as well. But I listen for the rhythm so that I know where I am with the multiples. How do you tell them apart?
With me, I just the same way. I listen for, you know, the rope and try to get the timing. It's definitely something that I'm still working on as well. But it's definitely something that definitely helps me when I listen to, you know, the whips of the rope. Because it's just the timing of getting a triple under, jumping up and down over and over again is just so difficult. That you have to learn to listen to the rope to know if you're doing a triple under or not. So I definitely agree with listening to the whips of the rope just to get the timing right for the triple unders.
There's so many aspects to it too, right? Like I find it's a mental game for me. I do so many and then I'm kind of bored. And that's really dangerous because the second that you abandon your focus, it just nicks your foot on the one side and it's over, right? There can't be any errors in that event.
Right.
So I battle with myself, like, do I do high, slow triple unders so that there's more clearance, so that it's more likely that I'm not going to make a miss? But then I can't do that for as long because it takes so much more energy to jump that high and turn that slow. I'm going to be here so much longer doing the same amount of triple unders as I would if I turned a little bit faster and didn't jump as high.
Yeah.
And then I have a coated rope for my triple unders. So the wire is a little bit thicker and heavier than my speed rope, because if I don't feel the weight of it in my hand, I'm more likely to make a miss than if I use the lighter rope. Well, I don't know. Does that happen to you?
Well, I don't use coated wire to do triple unders. That's definitely difficult. But yes, that definitely happens to me. I've definitely had triple unders. I think one time I competed, I got like 3 triple unders as my score because it's
oh man.
It's like a hit or miss thing with triple unders, and if you're off by just a little bit, you're gonna make a mistake.
I know that happened to LJ Lavecchia at World Jump Rope. Yeah. For sure. He was like, man, that's like the worst triple under score I've had in forever. And he's like, I did 3. Don't even worry about it. You know, right. Because he was getting these really, really high scores at practice. He's like, I'd really like to get more than 350, you know, and does 3. And here's this tremendous athlete who's so consistent and so experienced, you know, like not phased or feeling the pressure, but just a fluke. Right. And I think that's a discussion I have with young athletes all the time in our sport, because of how precise it is in its nature. It's like you could be the best athlete in this gym, but you only get one shot at each event. And luck is a factor for us. If you are simply unlucky in the next 3 minutes, too bad, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to, I love the resiliency that promotes in young kids in our sport, because that's something you learn as a skipper when you're 8 or 9, is not to take a loss so hard, because and to learn to reassure yourself, right? To know I can do better and that wasn't my best, but I tried my best and it was unlucky. And that's just something that happens in my sport. And I think that's a really great lesson to learn when you're 8 or 9 rather than when you're 23 or, you know.
Right. I definitely agree with that. This is one of the things that makes our sport just that much more special, because it's a hit or miss thing. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think as athletes, rope skippers really learn to shug it off like a boss, right?
Yeah.
You get that.
And there's so many events that you have to do after that.
That's the other thing is you're like, oh, my one event was a total washout, but I have 8 more. So right. See what happens. And that's one thing that's great about World Jump Rope being more track style is that you can really redeem yourself in another event if one doesn't go well.
Yeah.
Whereas like in FISAC, when everything's wound up into an all round, if one event goes bad, you're like, well, that's it. You know?
Yeah. That's definitely how FISAC is.
Yeah.
But it can also benefit, you know, with your overall, because if you do extra well in one event, it can, you know, hopefully weigh out the event that you did bad and bring you back up. So it definitely is a two-way street with that, I believe.
Yeah, and you know that the winners are really well-rounded athletes. Like, these are people who have worked hard and trained in every single event, right? Not somebody who just sticks with their specialty. You know that the winner is somebody who's taken the initiative to train their weak events as well as their better events, right? And so that's really great. I do think that there is a really great side of aspect to all rounds. And at World Jump Rope, they do give out an all-round award, right? They do give them out. So
yeah,
it's kind of the best of both worlds that way.
I feel as though that's definitely something.
Mm-hmm.
All leagues, you know, realize. But I feel as though FISAC, you know, benefits more from that with the overall. Because with World Jump Rope, you do get overall, but it's still based on individual things, what you do individually. So with FISAC, you have to do well in 3 events or 2 events. With World Jump Rope, you can do well in 1 event and still almost, you know, win overall. So it's definitely something that we still need to work on, I believe.
Yeah. Are we completely losing you here, Corey, or is this...
No, I'm paying attention.
Too much jump rope spiel for...
honestly, not at all. I was actually enjoying the conversation that you guys were having. I was following you guys, but I was more just enjoying the fact that we finally got you two to talk on the show. And I think that you're both strong jumpers, strong personalities, and it definitely shows. And I think that the listeners are going to enjoy what you guys have been talking about. I'm also keeping track of the time because I know that Brandon needs to get to work at some point. So
not on Tuesdays.
You said Tuesdays until around 6 o'clock. You've got to get to work.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But not to work.
He's bending the rules for me.
Not to work. I have to take my brother to karate class.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why I said that.
Okay. But so your brother can wait?
Yeah, he can definitely wait.
What belt does he have?
He's a brown belt.
Yeah? Do you do karate?
Have you ever tried skipping with his brown belt? Sorry, I'm just...
No, that's fine. That's a better question.
I've never actually tried skipping with his brown belt. I think I should, you know, do that, you know, one time just to see what I can do. You know, different challenges for jumpers. Maybe it could be a challenge, you know, find a belt to jump with and see what you can do with a belt. So that's definitely... You just gave me a great idea.
Well, that'd be a perfect...
Yeah, that's happened channel. To me before at, like, parties. I don't know if this has been your experience, Brandon, but when people find out that you're a competitive or professional rope skipper, they ask me that all the time. People will be like, what do you do for a living? And you tell them. And, like, sometimes people just flat out don't believe you. Other times I get people being like, oh, like little girls at recess? And I'm kind of like,
No.
you know. The worst thing ever is when you're in a new group of people and your friend introduces you as, this is my friend from the circus. And you're like, people make assumptions. Stop introducing me like that, you know?
That person might not be a friend.
I definitely, one time at a party, had somebody be like, oh, wait 1 second, and come back and give me an extension cord, like that you would plug into the wall, and was like, what can you do with this? Like, they wanted me to skip with an extension cord at this party, and I'm like, well, I could plug in a lamp if you have a, what do you mean, what can I do with this?
It's an what job cord. Was that, what job did that person have?
Oh, I don't know. It was in Saskatchewan, which is just north of Montana. So like way out in the prairies in the middle of the country. I was at this party. So somebody gave me an extension cord, like they wanted a show.
But let's say they were a farmer. I would have just said to them, why don't you bring in a cow and milk it? Like,
yeah, really?
You know, like,
that's right. I should have compared it to someone else's career. That would have been smart.
No, but yours was good, like, at the safe. That was pretty good as well.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to? Yeah, it's really interesting. I don't know if you get these funny remarks about the sport when you're talking to somebody who's never seen it before, Brandon. I'm sure, like, between you and your mom, you probably have some really great stories. I one time was at the beach with my friends, and had a lady come up to me and say, hey, I hope this isn't, you know, rude or anything, but I've just started to get into bodybuilding, and I noticed your physique, and I just wanted to ask if you're a part of any local affiliations, or, you know, maybe you can direct me to help me get more started with the bodybuilding. And I was like, oh no, sorry, I'm a competitive rope skipper. And she goes, a rope skipper? Oh, like skipping rope, like little girls at recess.
Wow.
And I was like, do I look like I've been doing a lot of recess? I couldn't believe, like, some of the reactions are really amazing.
And she came up to you.
Yeah, she did.
No, but I mean, like, she came up to you.
You know what? Google me. Right? Google me and you'll get it.
Yeah. I've definitely said that to someone. Google me.
Yeah. Well, the best story I ever have, actually, Google kind of saving my life, was crossing the border into the U.S. I live about 5 minutes from the U.S. border to New York, to Niagara Falls, New York.
Really?
So I sometimes go over there for concerts or groceries or what have you. So I was just like, it was just like a normal day. I didn't even think about it. I was crossing the border, and the border guard was like, do you mind popping your trunk for me? Because, you know, they always check when you're crossing the border. And I said, sure. And I didn't think about, like, my gym bag being back there. And the officer comes up to my window and is like, you want to tell me about all the ropes and tape in your trunk, ma'am? And I had to be like, oh my gosh, I'm a competitive rope skipper. And he's looking at me. I'm like, Google me. Because I don't want you to think that I'm, you know, about to commit a really serious act of violence with all this rope and, like, grip tape. Because, you know, the wire ropes look like it could be a choke wire or something. And it was a really, really scary moment for me, but now kind of a really funny story.
Can you?
But I remember Snapchatting with Kate and Robbie right after. Like, I can't believe this just happened to me.
Yeah, that's definitely crazy.
Can you top that, Brandon?
No, I can't top a story where... you know, where you're crossing the border and you could definitely be in trouble. But I've definitely had stories where, you know, my friends and things like that, they're always saying, oh, I could jump rope better than you and things like that. So they don't actually quite know how well jumper I am until they actually see me jump. And it's just the different things that you get from different people is just so amazing. I still get messages from people. You know, it's funny to me when people on Instagram, there's a lot of people who post jump rope videos that aren't, you know, competitive jumpers, and they see me jump and they say, like, oh, I have a video that can really impress you. Check it out and look at it. And they're doing single bounces and side swings, and it's just like, you just don't know. You don't know what you can actually do with the rope. So
my favorite is the guys at the gym. who are like, you're running on the treadmill or whatever. My school had a gym. So I'd go with guys in my class and we'd be lifting weights or whatever. And then they would be like, okay, I'm really going to impress you with the skipping. And they go grab a rope off the wall and they're like doing the, like what boxers do kind of thing, right? Like you said, right. Jumps and side swings. And they're like, yeah, this is, you know, they really think that it's really great. And they are really great because they've taught themselves how to skip with this rhythm and agility, like from nothing, all on their own. They've taught themselves this. And it is really awesome, but I really like being that one girl in the gym that's like, here, give me the jump rope.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can do it as well as you can do it. I like having that. That's the one nice thing I have to say about our sport being not as well known as it could be, is that you can kind of jump out of nowhere, right? And people are really surprised to see what it really entails. And yes. I'm sure if you pulled the audience of the podcast, they probably all have amazing stories about people who misunderstood what our sport was really about or how involved it really is.
I definitely agree.
Well, let's try to do that. Listeners, once you hear this, come on to the Jump Rope Jam website, jumpropejam.com, sign up for a free account. And post on the next new open post a comment describing the, well, let's give them some scenarios. Brandon?
All right. So I want to hear any stories about encounters you've had with people who did not know what the sport was about and what impressions they gave you. Like the lady who asked me about bodybuilding. How she was associating the sport only with recess. You have stories like that where somebody just completely just missed the boat.
And let's try to top your story about the border crossing.
Right, yeah, let's see if we can.
I think traveling internationally for competitions and stuff, skippers might have stories about like the airport scanning their luggage and seeing a wire rope. Or I'm hoping there's some good stories out there.
Yes, I've actually never ran into that at the airport. Like, I've never had trouble with them checking my bags and, like, wondering what I had with my rope. I've never encountered it. It's so amazing.
I was terrified trying to take the Crystal Trophy home in my carry-on luggage.
Oh,
I'm like, there's no way they're going to allow this. It looks like a blunt force trauma weapon, right? Like, I was thinking, there's no way they're letting me on the plane with this. And not a problem, apparently.
I had a great conversation with, you know, the securities at the airport about the trophies that I bring. They're always trying to figure out, like, where are you getting these trophies from? Like, every year that I go, there's always someone from security trying to talk to me about the trophies, but never about the jump ropes. I mean, obviously, the conversation comes up about jump rope, but they never ask
why
about
do
the
you
jump
have
ropes.
An entire bag of just ropes? Like, how would that look to an x-ray technician seeing the ropes come through on the conveyor belt, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no one's ever asked you a question about that? You know, like, why is nobody asking us about that?
I don't know. I never knew why. I never got asked about why I have a bag full of jump ropes. Like,
Yeah, I was just going to say that maybe they're embarrassed. Maybe they're afraid of what the answer might be.
I don't know. Like, even when I went to Trinidad and Tobago, I never got any questions. I just went straight through the airport. I never got any questions about why I have a bag, just a bag full of jump ropes as my carry-on.
Well, that'll be the third and final thing that we want to see posted. If any of you have any experience, you know, with traveling across any border, if you've been asked about your rope and what they asked you.
Yeah, that would be really good. I'd love to do a segment that's like, you know, you're a rope skipper if, or a jump roper. I'm sorry, we call it different things in our.
That's fine. Areas.
It's okay.
Although I hold to it that it should be rope skipping because skipping implies jumping and turning. And then I don't know how you would say it, jump roping,
Rope jumping. Rope jumping. Or what about a jump rope athlete? Well, no, I call it a jump rope athlete.
Kate and I have this debate every week.
We are going to have this debate every week. I think that with every guest that we have on, we should have this debate with them.
I'd love to. In any case, I'd love to have a, you know, you're a rope skipper if, kind of like the redneck thing.
Well, you
kind of like, you know, you're a rope skipper if people are constantly asking you if you braid your own hair, or you know, you're a rope skipper if you've ever found a whip mark on your body and not realized how it had gotten there.
I wonder how that would be explained if somebody saw that and your bag at the same time.
Yeah,
whip marks all over you, and you feed your pants doing triple unders. Like, our sport is not for the faint of heart, right?
Yeah.
It's for silly masochists who like to, like, lash themselves and pee their pants, I guess. We're tough. It's true. I wonder if there's other ones, like, you know, you're a skipper if type scenarios.
Yeah. I feel as though there's a lot of things that we need to have. So it's just, I think with more exposure, those things will come, even though they're already here. So it's just like
people for sure
behind with the sport. So
well, you do have author membership on the website. So if you want to write something up like that, you can. You're more than welcome to join us on the podcast. I'll keep you posted on whenever we're going to record. And if you and Caitlin, or if you and Brandon, you know, or any other jumpers want to, you know, if you want to record your own episode, you're more than welcome to. The more we have available, you know, for the listeners, the better. So I think that now would be a perfect time, though, to end on a high note. And I think that you need to take your brother to go kick some butt at karate.
Yeah.
And maybe
yes,
you can...
Yes, definitely. Poor kid.
You can steal his belt when he's done, and you could do a quick video.
Yeah.
I'll definitely try that.
So do you want to lead us out, Brandon, or Ilya? Do you want to lead us out if you know how? I'm putting you on the spot right now.
No, that's okay. I'll go for it. What is it that Brandon always says? Remember, jump rope is a sport. Thanks for listening. I should have my own tagline, maybe.